wonderful opportunity to follow a communion service with the preaching of God's Word.
Amen.
It is a new year. As I began to approach this, even on Monday night, New Year's Eve service, about 3 minutes till I said goodbye 2012. Amen. However it was for you, it's behind us now, and it's a time to, the word I got was forward. Forward. Let's go forward. And I would just say that as we talk about going forward, that it's with the vision God has given us for this North Gate of Tyler, for this congregation. It's a vision that the Lord has placed in our hearts, and it's to go forward. We'll be sharing more and more about what that means, but I just want to endorse what Brother David has said. He didn't use my name, but I guarantee you I'm for this, brother, and it's part of the vision, and it's part of what God wants to do here, and the Dream Center, and the outreach, and discipleship and training and preparation and development of people and everyone having a ministry. It's all part of the vision that God has given us. And I say, let's go forward. Let's press toward the goal. And that's what I want to share about this morning, that it's time to keep pressing on. What I began to realize is that we've got a choice. We can dread the future events, or we can go forward believing that God is in control and that God is there to revive us, to prepare us, to give us new vision, to grow and develop us, and that we are not to dread the future, but we're to go forward in faith, believing what God wants to do in our lives and with us as a congregation. Amen. Amen. And it's a saying, but it's true, you ain't seen nothing yet. Because eye has not seen, neither has ear heard, neither has it entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love Him, for those who are part of His vision, part of His family. It's the kingdom of God that we're part of. And we're not following a kingdom, we're following a King, and His name is Jesus. And He is our goal. Jesus is our goal. Thought somebody was behind me there. Thank you, Lord. Come on. Angel, you can be there. Amen. You see, we must have a goal. You must live with a goal. No matter what your condition is, you must live with a goal in mind. I've been working in prison ministry for many years, And the people I've seen in prison that can handle their time are people that are always looking for that parole, or they're always looking for that visit, or they're always looking for that opportunity for discharge, because they've got a goal, and that goal is something that would be different than the condition that they're in. And even those people, some of them I know, 35 years in prison, they still have a goal. That goal is to, they finally settle in and say, if I'm going to be here, I'm going to be a minister inside. And I'm going to start a group. I'm going to be a teacher. I'm going to prepare people. I'm going to prepare people to get out. So we must have a goal. From time to time, we put out here on our sign, thank you, David, that says, we grow dreams here. Our dreams are grown here. We grow dreams here. And God has a dream and a plan for every life. And that man under the bridge today in a drunken condition, he is not fulfilling God's dream. God has a better idea. He wants to lift him up. He wants to save his soul. He wants to give him a vision. He wants to advance his life. He wants to prosper him to where that he can be a responsible member of society, but a responsible minister for Jesus. It's been said, I think Brother Walker a few weeks ago said this, but it's so true, when your memories exceed your dreams, you are finished. And so we've got to be dreamers. We've got to have that next step that God has for us. Had a brother that worked with me years ago, and I would say, how are you doing? Every time he'd say, getting better. See, and that's so much better than the guy that said, I'm just going around looking for the next disappointment. Or, good morning, sir. What's good about it, you know? But we can be dreamers. We can believe that that dream will grow. It will develop. It will become more and more. and that we're not finished because we have dreams and we have memories, but they don't exceed our dreams. My text this morning is in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 through 13. And this was kind of put in my heart as we entered this new year. But those things were gained to me, these I counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all these things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish, garbage, worth nothing, worthless. Why? That I may gain Christ, and that I may be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. It's not going to always be smooth sailing. Being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. You see, there's that vision, there's that dream that Jesus has for us. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Verse 14, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The word was forward, or we might say onward. Anybody ever remember a song called Onward Christian Soldiers? A few people do. We need to bring some of that back. Well, this one not only says forward and onward, it says upward call. That upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He says the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, that I may know him. The word know is not saber, which is to know about in Spanish. It's conocer, which means to know personally. It's to know him, that I may know him, that I may be able to understand the intimacy of being close to him, of being in relationship with him. The song says, draw me nearer to the Lord. Can you cry out to that and say, draw me, Lord, draw me. It's a new year. Draw me near. It's a time to begin and make some recommitments to prayer, to morning devotions, evening devotions, to fasting, to prayer, to reading the Word. But not only reading the Word, do you know what meditation is? It's when you don't just read it like a newspaper. It is not a newspaper. This is word from heaven, the inspired word of God, Holy Spirit inspired, that has lasted all of these years and is rich and is as clear and as powerful a two-edged sword as it was when the apostles were inspired to write, when Moses was inspired to write, when the prophets were inspired to write. It is as good today in 2013 as it was then. In fact, it's better because we have got more things to combat than they did. We've got technology that wants to take the place of inspiration. We've got all these other things warring against us that they didn't have, but it's still the Word of God that is powerful. And I just challenge you to stop reading so fast. Read a verse and stop and let the Holy Spirit enlarge it. Now, I said the Holy Spirit, because some people get into trying to use the Bible as an argumentative tool, and I don't think it's the Holy Spirit that does that. In fact, it's probably that unholy spirit that wants you to read something that says, Judas went out and hanged himself, now go and do thou likewise. See, that's not the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That's not meditating in the right way. But when you pray and you say, God, feed me with this word. Feed me with this word. Now, we want to feed people when they come here. But, you know, you're not just to be a Sunday person. Man, if I just ate one day a week, I'm sure I would be very hungry. And so you need to eat every morning, every night. You need to find that precious, we call it a rhema of God's word. It's that which speaks to us, and it just rolls over and over in our spirit. And throughout the day, you can't keep from telling somebody about it. Wouldn't that be great if instead of criticizing and instead of blaspheming people and putting them down, that you said, let me share with you what God showed me this morning. See, a rhema of God's word that is there that you can edify others with what God is saying. We're talking about freshness. Freshness. Not something that's stale, not something that's getting ready to spoil, but freshness that God wants us to have. And that's a time of intimacy when we take God's word and we let it speak to us. And I tell you what, when that word comes in, you might have that problem like David was sharing, but God's word counteracts that defeat spirit. It counteracts that lies of the devil, and it comes in that we might be able to meditate on God's word. Now, if we're going to know him, and maybe for most people, this would be a little review, a little renewal. But if we're going to know him, the first step is to get saved. Salvation. And I want to see salvations this year. We can have all kinds of outreach, and we can have people that like us, and they're drawn to us. But unless they're drawn to Jesus, they're not going to be saved. They're not going to heaven with us. There's going to be an eternity lost without God. So salvation is what we must start with if we're going to know him. And we need to be able to say, are you ready to receive the Lord? Now, I cannot make that happen. I wish I could. I've tried all these years to save people, but they never get saved. But Jesus can save people. But when the word of God begins to penetrate and the love of God begins to be felt, and there is the working of God's word and God's spirit upon a person to where they begin to be convicted of their sins, then they are ready to get saved. I like this story about in the 1800s, something like that, when they began to have protracted meetings in churches. Well, there was this lady, they don't do this much anymore. When I was a little boy, they did it all the time. As the altar call would be given, well, people in the congregation would go up and they would say, do you want to get saved tonight? You know, and oh, it'd make people mad and everything. They said, don't bother me with that. Well, this was happening. And this person went up at the end of a service and said to this person, would you like to go to the altar and give your life to Jesus? And the person said, no, if I did, I could get saved right here. They said, no, you can't. Second night, you know, same little blessed sister goes up, tears in her eyes, quivering in her voice. Would you go with me to the altar tonight and get saved? Well, no, and I could get saved right here if I wanted to. Every night, same thing. Finally, she goes up to him again and she says, please, why don't you come to the altar and give your life to the Lord? He said, do you think that God would save such a dirty, rotten sinner that's done all these things as I've done? She said, yes, he will, and he'll save you right here. You see, we have to let people get to a place where that they recognize that they're lost. The lostness of man has to be there before the salvation of man can come. We've got to, you can holler in a loudspeaker. You can try all of your tactics and everything and your little evangelism tools. Nothing will happen unless the Holy Spirit convicts them of their sin. And there may be some of you here this morning that are in that condition, that you enjoy being around us. You enjoy participating and you feel better. You know, God doesn't want us to come to church to feel better. I hope that we feel worse for a while and that we, you know, we recognize that God's doing a work in us because, you know, we're no pain, no gain. And so we have a little pain, and then we begin to repent. And before we leave, we're better because of what we did. But not just because that we felt like that we did our Sunday service and we were there. So if you're here this morning, you don't know the Lord, I'm going to tell you how you can know Him. Religion is like seeing a picture. Salvation is seeing a person. You know the difference between a picture and a person? A picture is something that you are there and you can recognize, oh, that's who that is, that's who that is. And you know about that person and so on. But when that person comes in, you know that person. And it's about knowing Jesus as a person. It's that personal relationship with Jesus. God is not out on a planet somewhere. That's when people know about Him. He's way out there somewhere. But salvation is when God comes down to man and comes into your heart and life, and there's a personal relationship with Him, and you know. There's not even any formula exactly of how to get saved. I was yesterday talking to a lady that is in a wheelchair, and I was praying and ministering to her over in Palestine. And I told her, I said, you know, you and your husband are responsible for us being in prison ministry. Because you're the one that said there's a man in the Athens jail that I want you to go talk to. And the officer said there's no hope for him. I won't even let you up there. And he went to prison. That young man read the cross and switchblade. He'd been to prison 2.5 years. He knew he was getting ready to get out. He knew he was the same person, the same drug addict that he was. He said he just read the cross and switchblade book. And he began to scream, Jesus. And he screamed it, hollered it. Everybody on the run said, shut up in there. Shut up down there. He said, for 2 hours, I screamed Jesus. All of a sudden, said, I felt something come up on me. From the top of my head, it went through me. And I knew that I was saved. I was ready. And so on. All he did was holler, Jesus. Help, whatever it is. But God can fill in the blanks if your heart is ready. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we recognize that either people are saved or they're still sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so we have to recognize that it would be only in the natural flesh to deny that, well, I'm not as bad as he is, you know. At least, you know, Leo Miller is pastor of Lockhart Assembly of God, and he said that he stole fur coats, but he gave it to his mother. So he wasn't too bad because he had a giving heart. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 1 John 1:8-9 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But look at verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In that confession of sin, there's got to be repentance. Repentance is seeing your sin, hating your sin, and turning away from your sin, but not stopping there, but turning around and turning towards the Lord Jesus Christ and said, I'm going to follow you with all my life. The scripture here says that He will forgive us. Not only forgive us, He will cleanse us. Cleanse us. That is a sterilizing effect. It is better than this stuff I put on my hands. It's cleansing. It's cleansing. It's taking away the old. It's taking away the garbage. It's taking away the hurts. And it's taking away all of those things there. And it is a work that only Jesus can do. All unrighteousness. So if He takes it away, then in salvation, through the power of the blood of Jesus, we're righteous in Him. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. Wages of sin. Just like a person works on a job and receives wages, you know. I was so excited when I got 75 cents an hour. And then when they gave me a raise to $1 an hour, I knew that I tell you what. I worked, listen to this, I worked 176 hours in 2 weeks while my manager was gone. I was 16 years old. And I made $122, and I thought I was rich. I wish I had $122 now. wages. I knew that if I worked 6 hours, I had $6 coming at a dollar an hour. And that's the way it is. As we sin, we are going to earn the consequence, the wages of sin. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's tremendous rewards for serving the Lord. It's not just trying to make heaven someday. It's the abundant life that we have right now. He said, the thief comes but for to steal, kill, and to destroy, but I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. What we experience in here is fellowship with one another, because there's fellowship with the Lord, and it's an abundant life. It's an encouraging life. It's a time of great opportunity. It's a life that, the world can't give. There's a song that says, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. And so it's a great thing that God has given us as a reward for living for Him. But there's consequences for wrong decisions. There's consequences for sin. And the scripture says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It was the love of God that shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. He demonstrates His love toward us. And it's when God puts His love on a person, when they realize that God loves me just as I am, but He wants to change me. Our theme here at the Church of Living Hope is come as you are, but go away different. Come as you are, but clean up your life and go away where you can be a witness so that people will be asking you the reason for the hope that's within you. Romans 10:9-10. And if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So Charlotte and I started this coffee house, and next Wednesday night, it will be 43 years ago that front in College Street, we put up a sign that said Teen Challenge. The coffee house was there. And we began to reach out and minister to people there. And when I would lead someone to the Lord, the next thing I would do, I'd say, now tell me what happened. Well, Jesus just saved me. I said, okay, go tell him, go tell her, go tell him. You see, it's confession with the mouth that the Lord brings us to salvation. I like verse 13, for whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I truly believe with all my heart that God can save anyone. He can save anybody, no matter what they've done, no matter where they're at, no matter what situation it is. He can save them, because that's what salvation is. It's being saved from sin. It's being saved from a life of destruction. We're saved from sin, and we're saved for Jesus. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we must press toward that goal. Even as the scripture I read that I must press on, that may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has laid hold of for me. So that you may say, but Joe, I'm saved. I've been saved for 30 years. But we can still get the message of salvation. And then we can say, I want to press on. I want to find what God has laid hold of for me. And this one thing I do, forgetting, reaching, and pressing. Forgetting, reaching, and pressing. That's what we need to. That'd be a good message in itself, wouldn't it? You see, we press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We are a work in process. It's called discipleship. After you find the Lord, you get to know Him, then it's growing. It's that, first of all, the sincere milk of the Word of God that we start out with. And then it is bringing forth more and more into our hearts and more into our lives the truth of God's Word, where that the bad things fall off and the good things stay, and that we are able to press on and we're able to be discipled. And the journey is, as well as the destination, is the goal. So it's not like, well, I just want to get perfect, or I just want to get to heaven someday. The process of this going on the journey, even the difficult times and the problems you might have in relationships with others and the temptations that are there, this is also the goal because God is doing his work in us. So we press toward the goal. It says forgetting those things, forgetting those things. What are we to forget? First of all, forget the lies of the devil that says you're a loser. Forget the lies of the devil that says you'll never make it. Forget all those attacks the enemy is saying. And let me tell you this. When he reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. He will be bound for 1,000 years. Oh, I don't know why God's going to turn him loose, but he is. But then he's going to be in the lake of fire forever with everyone that didn't accept the Lord. So remind him of his future. Remember that what you did is under the blood of Jesus. That you are no longer that person that you once were. Now, you can remember the past sins and the past mercies to remember that a constant exercise of repentance and thankfulness to God of what he did, but it's over. 2012 is over. Another thing that you need to forget is past achievements. We cannot live on past achievements because God's got something new, something different. I can maybe for 10 minutes on Wednesday night say, Charlotte, you remember that first night when I sent those young people out and I said to invite people in, and the devil said, nobody will come. What are you going to do when they all come back and nobody will come? And I said, oh, God, I've got to pray. And I walked that block, casting out every demon and devil on University and College Street and Front Street and Broadway. And I came back and went to my knees, and all I was hearing, nobody's going to come, nobody's going to come. Someone knocked on the window. That young man that knocked on the window, Pastor's Evangel Assembly over here today, he knocked on the window, and he said, and he had 3 boys he had just picked up. And before the weekend was over, 150 young people came in. You see? Well, I can remember that, but listen, it's 2013, and I cannot go back and make that coffee house happen again because God's got new things. Behold, I do a new thing. So we need a fresh testimony. When we say someone got a testimony, we're not saying, well, when I was 6 years old, you know, I got kicked out of the house. No, we're not saying that. We're saying, what did God do for you this week? What has God said to you today? What is God saying to you through his word? That freshness is what we need in our lives. And that's what we're going to believe for in our congregation, is a fresh revival, a fresh touch of God's word that would come to him. There's a need for healing of the past because there's hurts that are, in fact, if you have not forgiven, there will still be hurt. But I heard something the other day that really spoke to my heart. It was on the 700 Club. It was Gordon Robinson, I believe. And he was praying, Jesus, come into my heart. Then he said, Jesus, come into my hurt. You know, he will. He will. Isn't that what we say? Find a need immediate, find a hurt and heal it. Jesus, come into my hurt. There needs to be a willingness to forgive. And when we have that ability to forgive that person, God can heal those things. We don't need to have that constant tape playing over and over again. There's healing of past hurts. There's healing of the past. There are things that you might still be struggling with. Well, let this be an altar this morning of taking that to him and saying, Lord, I am fed up with this annoying, molesting, constant thing that's there that I think about during the night or when I wake up in the morning. I want it gone forever. God can deliver you. I sought the Lord. He heard my prayer and he delivered me. Thank you, Lord. What to remember. Here's what to remember. Remember that his word is true and it never fails. The promises of God never fail. I grew up in a pastor's home and we had this little cardboard box about that long, about that wide, and it had these little cardboard promises in it. And when we'd have our devotions, we'd pull out a promise, and every time it was the right one for the day. You see, we can have that promise box inside of us. It's in God's Word. What He says He will do, and we can count on it. We can take it to the bank. 1 Kings 8:56. I love this scripture. Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto His people Israel, according to all that He promised. All that He promised. Listen to this. There hath not failed one word of His good promise, which He promised by the hands of Moses, His servant. Not one word has failed. God is a God of completion. He does a good job at saving us. He does a good job of cleaning us. He does a good job of keeping us. He does a good job of being our Father. Like the song says, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He saved me. He healed me. He turned my life around. Look what the Lord has done. So where are we going to be headed in this new year? 13 says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press on. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now the New Living Testament translation says, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Now, the message says it like this. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this. But I've got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. Weymouth translation says, with my eyes fixed on the goal, I push on to secure the prize of God's heavenward call in Christ Jesus. So we forget those things that we need to forget. We reach forth. It means stretching yourself forward, and we press toward the goal. Every now and then, for encouragement, I will pull up a YouTube. Is that what it's called? YouTube. Selah. When the valley is deep, when the mountain is steep, when the body is weary, when we stumble and fall, when the choices are hard, when we're battered and scarred, when we've spent our resources, when we've given our all, in Jesus' name, we press on. Dear Lord, with the prize clear before our eyes, we find the strength to press on. In Jesus' name we press on. Dear Lord, with the prize clear before our eyes, we find the strength to press on. Here was the Apostle Paul that wrote this text this morning, Philippians, from a prison cell. And he said he was going to press toward the mark. As he who runs a race never quits short of the end, but still making forwards as fast as we can. So if we must have our eye still on heaven, pressing forward to it with a holy desire, with hopes, with constant endeavors, with preparations. The fitter we grow for heaven, the faster we must press towards it. Heaven here is called the mark because it's that which every good Christian has his eye on. The archer has his eye fixed on the mark that he designs to hit for the prize of the high calling. A Christian's calling is a high calling. It's from heaven. It's a calling to him, a calling to relationship, a calling to intimacy, and then it's a calling to his kingdom, to his work, to what his will is for our lives. It's the calling of God. It's the prize we fight for. We run for it. We wrestle for it. We aim at it in all that we do. And what he will reward us for all of our pains. It's a great use in this Christian journey to keep our eye upon the goal, upon heaven. This gives us purpose in all of the service he requires of us. It quickens, it energizes every step, and it ends with that eternal life as a gift from God. You see, there's no way of getting to that heavenly home except His way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way. He is the only way. Randy, would you come? I want to have you stand at this time. As I shared about how I would get the people to go and tell their friends what had happened, it's because we are to confess in public. Could be that there's people here this morning that have never been saved. You're lost. If you died right now, you would not go to heaven. Because Jesus is the way. If you have not accepted Him, then there needs to be a salvation. And I just say to you today, the altar is open for salvation. I like to use the scripture. Someone told me not to do this. You're supposed to say something, but that hurts the microphone. But I'm going to do it anyway. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and I'll sup with him and he with me." You're here this morning and you do not know the Lord. You're not saved. The altar is open for salvation. Si está aquí hoy y no tiene la salvación en Jesucristo, el altar está disponible para ti, para recibir Cristo en tu vida. Hoy aquí, en este lugar. La Escritura dice, si confesamos nuestros pecados, Él es fiel y justo para perdonarnos nuestros pecados y limpiarnos de toda maldad. It says that if we will repent, God will save us. Someone will meet you here, but you need to walk the aisle yourself. You need to say, I am not right with God. I want to be saved, and I'm coming home. Lord, I'm coming home right now. Lord Jesus, we pray right now. Lord, I don't know the condition of every person here, but you do. And Lord, if there's people here this morning that need this salvation, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We wait for a moment, Lord. Second call this morning is for rededication. It's a new year. Can you say goodbye to failures of the past year? Can you come to the Lord and say, I want to rededicate my life to you, Lord. I want to start this new year in a new way, saying, Lord, I want to love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I don't want to compromise anymore. I don't want to live for the world. I want to live for you. And I want to rededicate my life to you, Lord. The third call this morning is for those that, when I was talking about hurts, you said, yes, they're still there, past things that still harass you. Then you need healing from the Lord this morning. And as Randy sings and I pray, well, the altar is open for you today. Father, we come before you now. And Lord, I just delivered my soul unto you, Lord. There are people here needing to respond to this word, this message today. So God, we cry out to you this morning, Lord. And we say, Lord, save me. I call upon you, Lord, today. I ask you, God, to reach into my hurt and heal it. Reach into my heart and change it. To give me a new life in you, Lord. I ask you, Lord, to prepare me for all that's ahead. All that's ahead in this new year. Jesus, precious be our God. Hallelujah. Yes, my Lord and my God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The prayer team, if you want to come and help me here. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Blessed Jesus. You say, well, the altar's full. Well, make an altar where you're at. Cry out to God. Cry out to God. Call upon Him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Precious Jesus,
I am ready to surrender. Every care, take my hand now, lead me closer, Lord, I need to meet you now. believe the Lord has impressed something on me. Brother Dave talked about hope for the handicapped. You know what? I don't believe that there's one handicapped person that if they could, they would change their situation and get rid of the handicap. But how many of us are spiritually handicapped? And it's our own fault. And we have the answer to that. And the way to receive our healing. But we don't come. Shame on us. Shame on us. For not receiving, going to, and calling for, and crying out to God to heal us. Spiritually.
Take the garbage out.
To the river I am going, bringing sins I cannot bear. Come and cleanse me.
Can we be a people that says, Lord, I don't want any distractions that would hold me back from all you have for me, for what Jesus Christ has laid hold of for me. No distractions. I want to follow you, Lord, to the fullness.
Your healing,
give me that abundant life, Lord.
Flows with
praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
From despair, I am going to that river. Lord, I need to meet you right here. Precious Jesus, I am ready to surrender every care. So take my hand now, lead me closer. Lord, I need to meet you right here. Set us free, Lord. Pass me not, O gentle Savior.
Say, Lord, put that fire in my heart. Let it burn within me. When the disciples on the road to Emmaus realized it was Jesus, they said, did not our heart burn within us as we walked with him? We need that burning heart.
Do not pass me.
Won't you have a seat for a moment? Debbie's going to introduce some guests here this morning.
Hello, church. I have my friend Denise Donovan here. She doesn't want to speak, so she's going to wave. And she is donor service manager at Mercy Ships, and she just wrote a book, and I'm really not going to tell you what it's about. They can do that. But she's also here with Andy Arnold, and Blake is in back at the table. So if you get a chance, say hi to them when you go by.
Andy? Thanks. Wow. I just got to say that y'all got it on up in here. Yeah. Man, it is such a blessing to be in a room full of redeemed people who are not afraid to let it go for God. You know, Jesus got up on that cross and he didn't hold back. We can't hold back for him, right? Wow. I am here this morning to, under the pretense of promoting our book. And what I'm really here to do is promote Jesus Christ and his redeeming powers. You know, God, he is a God of reconstruction and redemption. Amen. And it says it in the title of our book, Temporary Insanity, Seven Redeemed Lives. And, you know, Pastor, what a beautiful sermon for hope, for a sinner's hope. Yeah, thank you so much. Really touched me. And he talked about redemption in there, and he talked about a fresh testimony, and that's really what this book is. It's just seven people that we're associated with from our Sunday school class and church and a recovery group that I'm involved in, telling their stories. And I won't go into my story or too much of the stories. I'll let y'all buy a copy of the book and read it because the proceeds go to the recovery ministry. So, you know, it's going for a good cause to further Jesus' work. But, you know, suffice it to say that I have been redeemed. Amen. Yeah. Broken. Throwed off, spun, dumpster diving, IV drug using. Yeah, sinner. Come on. Come on. Yeah, and, you know, 4 years ago, God finally broke me enough that I knew I had to come to him. Yeah, yeah, it took that. I wish it didn't. I wish I hadn't have been down the road so far that I was so hard-headed that I had to do it the hard way. But that's just how it works for some of us. But, you know, God redeemed me, and, a little over 4 years, I hadn't felt the need to put any kind of mind-altering chemical in my body, nothing but the redemption of Jesus Christ. All the way full circle that, ironically, this Tuesday, I'll be starting a job as a chemical dependency counselor at a rehab for teenagers. If that's not redemption, I don't know what is. That's a real walking, talking miracle, man. That's what a hopeless person needs. He needs a miracle, and you know, Pastor talked about it being and coming in different ways. You know, that straight-on frontal approach that I got growing up that my mama tried to give me with that Bible and that Sunday school teacher tried to tell me, it really didn't work for me too good. And, you know, I had to see it through the eyes of another throwed-off, broken-down drug addict like myself. That testimony is the one where I saw Jesus' hope for the first time. So, that's what our book's all about. I won't keep y'all here. I know it's late, but they're back there in the back. We're selling them. We'll even sign them for you, whatever that means. You know, give the money back to the recovery ministry, and maybe it'll touch your lives. You know, maybe our testimonies are seven different ones, and Denise's is in there, and she came through a life of, her growing up years just weren't that great, man, and I'll let her story speak for itself. But she's headed all the way to Chicago in a couple of weeks. They're going to play her story on Unshackled. I don't know if any of y'all are familiar with Unshackled, but what a blessing. And our book is on a ship headed to Africa on one of Mercy's ships. And so it's going to be in Africa, and it's already in a couple of jails and prisons, I think. And we're just here to further God. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you for your redeemed life. Praise Jesus. And thank you, sister, for writing the book. That's not an easy chore, I know. And would you stand at this time? Thank you all for coming. Stretch your hand this way. And you got something?
As you were speaking, the Lord put this verse on my heart. It's out of Psalms 10:17. It says, you hear O Lord, the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them and you listen to their cry.
I love it. Amen. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Jehová te bendiga y te guarde. Jehová haga resplandecer su rostro sobre ti y tenga de ti misericordia. Jehová alza sobre ti su rostro y ponga en Now, I ask you to go and find a need and meet it and find a hurt and heal it. And when people ask you the reason for the hope that's within you, you tell them, God bless you. Thank you for coming. Go by the table and visit these people and encourage them. Amen.